diddly dee. An Actor's Life for Me.
We present An Actor's Life for Me, starring John Gordon Sinclair, Gary Waldhorn, and Caroline Quentin. Episode 2, Fathers and Sons.
Oh, I thought you were wonderful, Robert.
Thanks, Mum.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so proud of you. Yeah, but why did you cut the to be or not to be speech from the play? I like that one.
We're doing Macbeth.
Oh, don't be silly, Jean. Your mother knows nothing about the theatre, Robert.
Aye.
Probably explains why she thought you were wonderful.
You didn't like my Macbeth then, Dad?
No, I didn't say that. No, you weren't bad. Not as good as Duncan MacLeish, but he was the finest Macbeth I've ever seen. But you weren't bad.
Duncan MacLeish?
Aye, the local bobby in the Strathmore Players, remember?
Ah, he was superb.
The local bobby? I saw that performance.
Aye, I'll never forget his big soliloquies.
He never remembered them.
Oh, no, no, lad.
Come on, Dad, the prompter had a bigger part than he did.
Nonsense. He didn't need any help at all.
And he did the to be or not to be speech.
Nah, he did get a bit muddled up, yeah. But at least he didn't mumble like you actors today.
Oh, God.
And he had a decent haircut, too. So he looked right. He looked like a king.
He looked like a policeman. He had his helmet on in the first act.
Oh, that was an accident.
And he carried his walkie-talkie. I never knew if he was more disturbed by the witches or reports of a break-in down Stirling Crescent.
Well, be that as it may.
Anyway, I'm sorry I couldn't match up to that memorable performance, Dad.
Now, don't you get sarcastic with me, sir.
Now, look, you just stop it, you two.
Sorry to keep you. I brought the car around to the stage door.
Oh, thank you, dear. We mustn't miss that train, Gordon.
No.
Hey, and the best of luck with the last few performances, Robert. Hey, what are you doing next? Have you any ideas?
Don't know.
Getting his hair cut, I hope.
Actually, we're going away for a week.
Oh, that's nice. You never said, Robert.
I never knew. I thought we'd already had our holiday this year, Sue, when I did that location filming.
Filming? Oh, do you hear that, Gordon?
Yeah. A little thing set in Moscow, Mum.
Moscow? Oh. Gee, that's exciting.
They shot it in Bradford. 3 days in Bradford is not my idea of an annual holiday, Robert.
You can't afford another one.
You could come and stay with us for a few days, dear. In fact, it'll be super next week.
Will it?
Aye. The Strathmore Players are doing Peer Gynt.
Oh, great.
No, I've decided. We're going abroad, actually. Amsterdam.
Sure.
Robert keeps putting off holidays, you see, so that he's around for work.
Oh, life's one big long holiday for him, the amount of work he gets.
Charming.
In fact, we haven't really had a holiday for 3 years, and I'm fed up with it. So we're leaving on Monday, and he's going to tell Desmond he's not available.
But, sir...
Aren't you, Robert?
Right. I'm not available, Desmond.
Don't be silly, you must be.
She's bought the tickets. I don't particularly want to go, but she insists. We're flying to Amsterdam on Monday morning.
Amsterdam?
Schiphol.
Oh, I've heard it's quite pleasant.
No, Schiphol, Desmond. It's the name of the airport.
Oh. Well, you're missing the golden opportunity, old boy.
Not another of your golden opportunities. The last time we cancelled a holiday was when you promised me a hit in the West End musical.
I thought it would be a huge success.
A huge success? A musical about the Falklands War. From the Argentinian point of view. Entitled Gotcha.
It had a catchy song.
Watcha, we gotcha. What a lesson we taughtcha.
Well, I thought it was catchy. The lyrics had a lot of punch.
So did the sailors who came to see it.
Yes, it was probably a bit of a mistake opening in Portsmouth.
A bit of a mistake. The stage was invaded more often than the Falklands were.
Still, you were very good as that injured captain.
I wasn't supposed to be injured.
No, well, this time I really have got you a good part, Robert. A very good part. But it's a night shoot. The night after you leave. The part's a gravedigger.
A gravedigger.
It's about a village. In this episode, they're exhuming a body at midnight. It's only a small part, but the thing is, if they get a series, he'd be a regular character. It'd be 6 months' work, old boy.
6 months? Wow.
You can't afford to turn down an opportunity like this. I remember an actress years ago. I got her a part in Emergency Ward 10, and she turned that down to go on holiday. She's never done any telly since.
What was her name?
Julie Christie. Well, you want to do it, Robert? Can't you put your flight off a day?
Desmond, if Sue found out I was moving her holiday, she'd go spare.
Say you've got a sick relative. That sick uncle of yours. Tell her his breathing's giving cause for concern.
Well, it certainly would be. He died last year.
Well, how about a funeral, then?
I think they've buried him already.
Well, not his funeral. Someone else's.
Well, you mean knock off an aunt so I can go to hers? That's a bit extreme, isn't it?
No, no, I don't know. But you ought to do something.
Yeah. You give me an idea, actually. I'll do the part, Desmond.
Good boy.
It's too good a chance to miss.
I'll get you all the details. Find out what you've got to do. All I know at the moment is you're digging a grave.
Might be my own.
You don't need any jabs for Amsterdam.
Thank God for that. I can't stand injections.
There's lots to see. The Rijks Museum, the canals, the bulbs. I can't wait.
Nor can I. I just hope nothing happens to spoil it. Oh, no! Oh, dear!
What is it?
Oh, Lord! How would you feel if we couldn't leave till Tuesday, Sue?
What?
You know, a day late.
Have you got some sort of job lined up?
No,
because if you have,
no,
Robert...
No, nothing like that. It's just... Well, you better read this. Third one down.
Burns, Edward. Beloved husband of Sheila and father of Jessica. Died suddenly on the 11th. I'm sorry, I don't understand.
You wouldn't. But that man was my father.
Your what?
My father. I'll have to go to his funeral on Monday.
Your father?
I never told you that before, but he had me adopted. They were very young. And
you're telling me? It says here, died suddenly on the 11th, aged 34.
No, no. Sorry, it's the fourth one down. Ronald Mullins. I'm a bit shocked, that's all.
Ronald Mullins. Dearest husband of Lynn and father of Barry. Died peacefully after a long illness.
That's the one.
Oh, I'm sorry, Robert. I had no idea. No idea at all. How awful for you.
Yeah, it's very distressing.
Of course, I know. Did you ever meet him?
No, never.
But presumably you know something about him. Well, if you know his name, you'd know what he did. What he looked like.
He was a grave digger.
A grave digger?
A vicar, I mean, you know. And I once saw a photo. He was tall, dark, and handsome. And I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be asking you. It's just so sad. He rejected you at birth, and you never got back together. You never made it up.
I think I made up quite a lot.
What about Gordon and Jean?
Well, they adopted me when they found they couldn't have children of their own.
But you've got an older brother and two younger sisters.
Yeah. When they found they couldn't have children for a little while. Then they found they could again.
Oh, you know, I'm sure I remember Jean saying that you were an extremely easy birth.
Well, I was. She didn't have to do it. That's her way of talking about it.
Oh, I see.
And it explains why I don't get on well with Dad, Gordon. We've got nothing in common.
Oh, of course.
Anyway, you can imagine, since I found out the name of my real father, it's made quite a big impact on me, so I quite like to go to Reginald's funeral and...
Ronald's funeral.
Ronald's funeral and pay my last respects and...
I understand. Of course you must.
Thank you.
And I must come with you.
What?
Well, you'll leave me by your side.
No, I won't. Honestly, I won't.
I'm sure it's right that I come with you, Robert. After all, it's going to be a very traumatic and upsetting occasion.
Well, it is now. Going for a lie down.
What's the matter with you women? You're not still fussing about Robert.
I just think that you could be a bit nicer to him, a bit more encouraging.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, telling him he's not bad as Macbeth. Why can't you lie a bit?
I was lying. I thought he was terrible.
Well, lie a bit more then.
Aye. Ah, maybe I'll give him a wee ring. See how he is. That's
a good idea.
Aye. Wish him luck for the holiday. Well, I've due to leave today.
Hello? 226-5106.
Hello, dear. I just wanted a word with Robert. It's Gordon.
Oh, it's a bit awkward, actually. He's in the car. We're about to dash off to a funeral.
A funeral?
Yeah, it's too complicated to explain. But look, while you're there, I just want to say I think you're terrific.
I beg your pardon?
Looking after Robert like you have, he's told me, you see, that he's not your son.
Not my son?
That you're not his real dad, and I think you're fantastic treating him like your own. It's great.
What?
Yeah, I'd better go. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Jean? Jean, could I have a wee word with you?
How do you feel?
Terrible.
Your mother looks very dignified.
What? Oh, yes.
She's lovely. Very elegant. Though I must say, I never expected her to be Chinese.
Nor did I.
Welcome to St. Michael's. We are gathered here this afternoon to say goodbye to a dear husband, father, and friend, Ronald Mullins. He was a man I knew for many years, as a boy, as a student, and as a young man going into his chosen field of aeronautical engineering.
What was a vicar?
No, Vickers. He worked at Vickers, that's what I said.
Oh!
Eventually becoming one of de Havilland's leading engineers.
And then he moved to de Havilland's.
Ronald, as we all know, was only 5'3" in height.
You said he was tall.
Well, tall-ish.
5'3"?
And yet, he was such a powerhouse that he seemed like a veritable giant.
Exactly. He seemed tall.
But above all, he was a very courageous man, especially in the way that he coped with the unfortunate hereditary psychological disorder that afflicted him for many years.
Hereditary psychological disorder?
A disorder that led to short bouts of rudeness and irrational behavior.
Oh, no. You've got it, too.
Of course I haven't.
Yes, you have, except yours are long bouts.
Thank you for coming.
Mother, we should leave in precisely 1 minute.
Yes, not now, Barry. Thank you for coming.
We're due at the Creme at precisely 3:15. From here to there at her speed, it takes 17 minutes exactly.
Look.
I've timed it.
I'm sorry. Thank you for coming.
She looks a bit fraught.
Yes, can we go now?
We must speak to her first.
What?
Well, we can't go without saying something. She might be able to help you, Robert. Your mind's disturbed.
It will be if this goes on.
Thank you for coming. Goodbye.
You don't know us, I'm afraid, but...
Please.
It's really rather awkward, you see, because... Yes?
Robert, say something.
Goodbye.
Not that. Come back.
Let go of me.
Robert's a bit embarrassed, but the thing is, well, it's really wonderful. In fact, it's so wonderful, I just have to tell you.
No, you don't.
Tell me what? You may have lost a husband, but you have found a son.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, God, I'm going to die. Please let me die.
Oh, hang on. Oh.
That was the most embarrassing afternoon of my entire life.
But it's not my fault. I thought she was your mother. You told me she was your mother.
I made a mistake.
A mistake?
Do you know, and I was confused.
You're confused. Look, let's get this right. someone else is your mother.
Yes.
But Ronald is definitely your father.
Of course he's my father. I told you.
Good. I just wish I hadn't told his widow.
No, that was a bit unfortunate.
She'd no idea he'd got an illegitimate son.
No. Not at Eve.
I'm not surprised you went completely hysterical. He must have been carrying on with this other woman for the first 2 years of his marriage.
I suppose he must.
I've never seen a woman swear at a funeral before.
No.
Or rip a wreath apart with her teeth.
Or kick a coffin. It's very embarrassing. I'm just glad it's all over, that's all.
Over? It's just starting. We've got to find out about this disorder of yours now.
Oh, no.
Don't worry. I've left the family our name and address. They can give us some advice. And I'll book you in with a psychiatrist when we get home.
Desmond, you've got to help me. You got me into this.
What's the matter, old boy?
I pretended I was adopted so I could go to some bloke's funeral today. I told Sue he was my dad, but it all went wrong, and now she wants to send me for psychiatric treatment.
Now, old boy. I know exactly what to do. This calls for my talent for voices.
2265106, hello.
Miss Bishop, this is Heinrich Wunk. I am an expert in nervous disorders, M., and their familiar Mullins, they ask if I in touch with you can get.
Yes. Yes, I see. Herr Wunk, is it?
Yeah. And then Mr. Wilson to see me must come, and we can his problem in my clinic discuss.
Ah, sehr gut, Herr Wunk.
What?
Ich bin sehr englisch über Robert. Und ich hoffe, dass es wach machen können. Verstehen Sie?
I'm sorry, I do not German speak.
But you are German.
Ah, yeah, but I have not been back for a few months. I forget it.
Desmond, what are you doing?
Your pardon, Beck?
I know Robert's frightened of going to see a doctor, but really, roping you in to help him is pathetic. He's got to face up to it.
Yes. Sorry, dear.
Who is it, Sue?
Your agent, Dr. Desmond Mengele.
What?
You better speak to him whilst I get the door.
Desmond! Desmond, what's going on?
Sorry, old chap. Nearly full running.
Nearly.
But look, don't worry. She still thinks you're adopted. All you've got to do now is sneak out tonight after she's gone to sleep and nip off to the chute.
Oh, yeah, easy.
And nothing terrible can happen before then, so relax.
Great, thanks.
Robert! Look who's come to visit.
Hello, brother. Of course, I can't tell you the thrill it gives me to say that. Brother.
Barry. Thought I'd just pop round so we can get to know each other. Do you know, I only live 7.3 miles away, door to door.
Oh, joy.
Well, gate to gate, in actual fact. Door to door would be a tiny fraction further. And I've got a special treat for this evening. I've got the family photo album in the Metro. And these are the pictures of our most recent holiday to Morocco. I took them with my Praktika XR3, using a 28-70 zoom. It is automatic, though, of course, I've got a manual adapter, so I can put it down a couple of stops for water sports photography.
Oh. Well, is this the last lot?
Yeah, afraid so. I've done the 11 other albums.
What's your mother doing, Barry?
Oh, she was a bit upset, so she's under heavy sedation.
Pills, or did you just show her some photos?
Sorry?
Nothing.
Anyway, this one's of your Aunt Mary, Robert. That's Dad's sister, with some people we met on holiday. It took me ages to get it right, actually. Well, the f-stop was 2.8, and, of course, the shutter speed was 1/250th. And I had to wait till the sun was just slipping behind the mountain. Oh, forever.
And which one's Aunt Mary?
The one yawning in the middle.
They're all yawning.
No, the tall one, next to the man with his eyes closed.
About to topple over.
Yeah, that's it. And this one's Dad on a camel. Oh, took forever to centre it perfectly. Doesn't he look just like his sister?
Yeah, he's yawning too.
Barry, talking about your father, about this hereditary disorder of his.
Oh, yes, that, yes. That wasn't very nice at all.
No.
But I haven't got it, you know. They reckon it could have skipped a generation. I'm perfectly normal.
You don't see.
Yes, mind you, I do have to be very careful. It might be a dormant gene, you see, so something could bring it on.
Like what? Because Robert will have to do the same, won't you, Robert?
Hmm. Yeah, I suppose he will.
Look, Sue.
Well, I never touch alcohol, Robert.
Oh, brilliant.
Or any stimulant, coffee, tea. In fact, I only really drink goat's milk. Apparently that's best.
Goat's milk?
2 pints a day. Very high in protein.
It's very high in smell.
Where do we get it from?
Well, a goat.
Yes. No, I mean, does the milkman deliver it?
Oh, yes, yes.
So I am not drinking goat's milk.
Oh, don't be silly. What about food, Barry?
Oh, food's no problem at all.
Thank goodness for that.
As long as you stick to goat's cheese, fresh vegetables and certain kinds of meat.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Like tripe and sheep's brains.
I'm sorry, did you say tripe?
Yes. Oh, and you must have plenty of liver.
Liver? Goat's liver? Dog's liver?
No, ordinary calf's liver.
Oh, you like eating liver, Robert.
I know.
Oh, you don't eat it. You have it injected.
Injected?
Yes, liver injections, you know, once a week. That way you get it in concentrated form, you see. I'll tell you, my backside's like a dartboard these days.
I see, so let me get this right. It's tripe and vegetables washed down with a pint of goat's milk and a pound of liver pumped up your bum.
Well, yes.
And that's what keeps you sane, is it?
Seems to do the trick.
Barry, this diet of yours, some doctor fixed it for you, did he?
Yes, a family specialist. Why?
I just wondered whether he had an ulterior motive, like you'd been showing him your photos or something. God, I thought he'd never go. He was here for 4.5 hours, Sue.
Oh, I know.
He only left because I turned off the electricity and pretended we did a power cut.
He's lonely, you said. He hasn't got any friends.
Well, I'm not surprised.
He's had a hard life. You heard how your father treated him, swearing, screaming, wandering off for days at a time.
He was obviously saner than they thought.
Don't be horrible, Robert. He's your brother. And we're his family, so we ought to take an interest in him. Get to know him, make him feel welcome.
You didn't have to invite him on holiday, though.
It was a gesture.
Well, I can think of a better gesture for Barry. We've got 6 days in Amsterdam with him. Now we'll spend the whole time posing for his photographs. 5 hours by a tulip waiting for it to bloom.
Oh, don't be silly. Come on, it's nearly midnight. Time for bed.
Midnight? Oh, my God, I've got to be...
What?
Nothing. You go to bed, I'll join you a bit later.
What?
No, it's okay, I've got... I'm not going anywhere. I just want to stay up and watch the telly.
What's the telly? It's 10 to 12, what's on?
Prisoner on Cell Block 8. It's a must, I don't want to miss it.
I thought you were already depressed.
No, it's great. Besides, there's a part on offer, an English prisoner. Desmond thinks I'd be great for it.
But it's a women's prison, Robert.
Well, you know what a range I've got. All right, I won't watch it. I'll just sit and think. You go off to bed.
Sit and think? Are you all right?
Of course I'm all right. Just go to sleep. Quickly.
You're behaving very oddly.
I'm perfectly all right, I tell you. Now, for God's sake, leave me alone.
Right, sorry, I breathe. Good night.
Good night.
Two two six five one oh six. Hello.
Miss Bishop, Sergeant Robbins here. You rang us about your missing fiancé.
Oh, yes, yes. I woke up at 1:30 and he'd gone. I think it must be something to do with his illness.
Well, we found
him. Oh, thank heavens for that.
Walking the streets. A car's bringing him back now. He didn't want to come. Said he was on his way to a cemetery.
What?
Yeah, it was a bit hysterical. Something about he'd got a job to do, exhuming some grave.
Oh, my God, he was going to dig up his dad.
Eh?
Well, he's only just been buried. Oh, the poor man. It's more serious than I thought.
Oh, don't let him wander off again.
No, don't you worry. I'll give him a sedative as soon as he comes in.
Oh, coming. Well, it's you, Desmond.
Why didn't you answer the phone, Robert? I've been ringing all morning.
I've been asleep.
Ah, so that's why you missed the filming, is it? The film company rang me and told me you didn't turn up. You were in bed, were you?
I was in a police car.
What?
Desmond, at this moment, Sue is out buying sedatives in bulk and probably a straitjacket if she can find one.
Sorry?
Thanks to you and this job of yours, I've got a dead lunatic father. There's a pound of tripe boiling in the kitchen for my lunch. And I'm about to go on holiday with the most boring man in the world.
Ah.
In fact, the only possibly good thing about this whole affair is that Sue doesn't know I was going to work. She'd probably kill me if she found out. Luckily, she still thinks I'm adopted.
Oh, good.
Robert! I've just met Gordon and Jean outside. They seem a bit upset about something. They've calmed down, especially.
What?
I want a word with you, my lad.
Dad!
What's all this you've been telling Sue? That I'm not your father?
Oh, no.
I've had it out with your mother. She denied everything. She says she's never been with another man.
Oh, I haven't. I don't know what you're saying, Robbie. It must be some mistake.
So what's it all about, eh? Come on, come on.
I made it all up, that's all.
What?
Made what up?
Everything. I'd got a job lined up yesterday, so I had to delay the holiday, so I pretended I'd got another family so I could go to a funeral. That's all.
So you're not adopted after all?
No.
And you're not illegitimate?
No.
Just a bastard.
That was An Actor's Life for Me, written by Paul Mayhew Archer, starring John Gordon Sinclair, Gary Warthorne, Caroline Quentin, Joe Kendall, Danny Schiller, Joe Dunlop, Phil Nice, and Jennifer Piercy. The producer was Paul Spencer.